You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Novavax Vaccines, essential protection for essential bonds.
Hi, welcome to the Dr. Courtney Show. I'm Dr. Courtney Campbell.
I'm really excited today. You know, this is such an exciting day. We're going to be talking about some really important topics. Plus, I'm joined by an amazing guest. You'll find out who she is just in a few short minutes. But what I wanted to let you know is it's an exciting day because this is the inaugural podcast. It's brought to you by Merck Animal Health, they're makers of Novavax vaccines. And, you know, when we're talking about this podcast, we were just thinking about all these amazing pet parents we've met over decades and decades of practicing veterinary medicine. And we were just thinking about all these pet parents who are just tuned in to their pets. They are the people focused on preventing infectious disease. They are the people who are noticing if there are symptoms in their pet, bringing their pets to the veterinarian. They're the people who are just spreading the good news about how awesome it is to have a pet. And those people, we just termed them champions. And not only that, not only is this the inaugural podcast, but it actually happens to be my birthday, which is crazy. So today is my birthday. This is excellent. And something that comes to mind when I was 12 or 13, that's when I received as a gift my very first puppy. It was on my birthday. And my birthday, you know, because of the calendar, can sometimes be around Easter. But that is when I received my very first puppy. Now, when you do get your first puppy and that excitement, the first thing that a lot of people ask or they want to know is they say, what did I get myself into? No, I'm kidding. They usually want to know, how do I keep my puppy safe? How do I keep him protected? And one really important component of that is vaccination. And we need to know, I think what's important to talk about when it comes to vaccination for your puppy is, what are we giving the shots for? I mean, we've heard about these diseases, we've heard about these conditions, but I think a lot of pet parents out there are like, what are we giving shots for? And so when I'm thinking about that, when I'm thinking about infectious disease, there's one person I want to talk to. There's one person who's super knowledgeable, who's been in the trenches, who's seen the horrible effects of infectious disease and these crazy viruses. And that person is coming up right after this break.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
I'm Elaine Schultz, president for 25 years of Greyhound Pet Adoption, Springfield, Missouri. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization that adopts out retired racing greyhounds. There are currently 19 racetracks in the U.S., 14 are in Alabama and Florida. We also provide monetary assistance to track adoption programs in those states to transport hundreds of greyhounds to adoption groups throughout the U.S. There is a great need for transportation funding. You can help by donating at gpamo.org and note transportation with your donation.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We are animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
So we're coming back. We're joined today by a wonderful individual who's going to talk to us today all about infectious disease. We have a lot to unpack today, so I'm really excited. I want to welcome to the podcast Dr. Justine Lee. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Dr. Campbell.
Oh, I'm really excited. I mean, I'm going to be totally honest with you. You know, I felt like the opportunity to talk to you and the opportunity to meet you, at least through this venue, was inevitable because I hear your name and I see references for you all over the internet. It's pretty incredible. You know, I'll just be honest with you. Not only do you educate a lot of pet parents out there through the excellent content that you have online, but there's veterinarians all over the country. There's veterinarians that I work with on a daily basis who use a lot of your content. So I just want to thank you right off the bat for putting a lot of that out there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, as an emergency critical care specialist, I end up seeing a lot of really bad diseases, and a lot of it is preventable. And that's why I wanted to, you know, educate pet owners and fellow veterinarians on what we can do to help improve quality of life and improve quality of care. And so that's what my passion is.
It is really your passion, and you can see that through a lot of your content that's online. Now, there's a lot to unpack today. We're going to jump right into it. But before we do that, I just have to ask you, you know, because it is my birthday and because I remember my first puppy on my birthday, do you remember becoming a pet parent for the very first time? And what was that experience like for you?
I do. In fact, I had been begging my parents for a dog for years. And when I turned 7, they finally let me get a dog. So just like you, I still remember it. I had a little Pekingese.
7 years old? They thought you were responsible enough at 7 years old. See, my parents didn't start trusting me till I was like double that, 14.
Well, I had a bigger sister, so she could help me with some of the dog walking and dog care, but really memorable. And it was actually one of the things that made me want to become a veterinarian as a child.
Well, that's incredible. I know that for a lot of parents out there, they're always a little fearful for getting their child a new pet because they're wondering who's going to be taking care of it the most. You know what I mean? And, you know, inevitably what ends up happening is the parent does at least some of the puppy rearing or the kitten rearing themselves too. Now, my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but you are what they describe as a super mom. You have young children at home and you're also in the trenches working every day. Is this true?
Well, I wouldn't call myself a super mom, but thank you. Thank you for saying that. So I have my first newborn child who's about 4 months.
And, congratulations.
Thank you. He was a total surprise. And my other kids are a 5-year-old mixed breed pit bull border collie mix and 2 cats. So I definitely have a household here.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a really busy household. I'm so pumped and so excited that you're able to do everything. Well, listen, we could talk about how full your household is and how full my household will be someday. But I want to know, there's a lot of people out there wondering, you know, I have a brand new puppy, I have a brand new kitten, and I'm supposed to be getting him his shots, but I don't know what these shots are for. Now, both you and I have treated, we've seen the horrors, we've seen the, no other word to describe it, but destructive nature of some of these viruses. And the first one that comes to mind is parvovirus. What has your experience been like with this particular virus throughout your career?
Yeah, you know, it's such a frustrating disease because parvovirus was actually almost completely eradicated by the vaccine. But unfortunately, what I end up seeing is in the city, if people just adopted a pet, unfortunately, if they didn't get them vaccinated, we can see parvovirus. And I always tell people it's like getting cholera nowadays. It's super rare. The vaccine is very, very effective. It's almost 95% effective. And unfortunately, it results in severe dehydration, really severe bloody diarrhea and vomiting. And I've seen puppies die from it without treatment. There's no cure for it.
But there is no cure for it. And honestly, Dr. Lee, what I love about what you said about cholera, that's such an important topic because a lot of the same adjectives that they use for parvovirus, they also used for during the Ebola crisis. And again, that's not to sound hyperbolic or anything like that, but like just from what you're saying, from what we've seen, just that severe dehydration, that severe diarrhea, I mean, this is no joke.
Exactly. And I practice in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I probably see one case a week during the summer. And remember, this is a totally preventable disease by vaccine. So really frustrating. And it's really expensive to treat. At the emergency clinic where I work at Animal Emergency and Referral Center, it could cost several $1,000s to treat this. So I always tell people the best thing you can do is to get your puppy or your new dog vaccinated as soon as possible to protect them.
I love that. There's a lot in what you said there in that we know that this virus is literally everywhere. And so the notion that you're going to keep your puppy or kitten away from it and therefore make the risk zero, it's just a little bit unrealistic. We know that this virus can be everywhere from the sidewalk on your clothes to other puppies or kittens. And so getting your puppy vaccinated is by far the best way to prevent them from coming down with this illness. We also know, too, that it can spread like wildfire through a particular litter. Have you seen that where you have one puppy who's infected and the rest of the litter comes down with the same virus.
Absolutely. It is so contagious. So even exposure to the feces or licking each other, it's going to spread through the whole litter. And that's why it's really important that the mom be vaccinated, because the mom can pass on maternal antibodies that will protect the puppies. You know, the frustrating thing is that because it's so expensive to treat, because it's a lot for the puppy to go through, you should know that 80 to 90% of cases will survive and do well with treatment, but they need IV fluids and IV sugar and antibiotics. And they need to be hospitalized for days. So when in doubt, this is a very infectious disease that, again, is totally preventable.
Yeah, not only is it preventable, but, you know, you mentioned the fact that they can be protected with maternal antibiotics. And we're going to get to that a little bit later, because I believe, in my opinion, that's one of the most frustrating and worthwhile topics in talking about how to prevent the puppies from coming down with this particular condition or infectious disease in general, is battling and timing, getting that timing perfect in terms of maternal antibodies. One of the more destructive aspects about infectious disease, or one of the etiologic agents or horrible viruses that can affect puppies as well, is hepatitis. And that's when people say, hey, you know, Dr. Campbell, I'm going to bring my puppy in for his shots. Some pet parents don't realize this is a component of the vaccine as well, is a vaccine to help prevent horrible infectious hepatitis.
That's correct. So a lot of people are intimidated. They see the postcard that they get in the mail that says, you know, your puppy's due for a DHPP. There's different abbreviations. So sometimes it's DA2PP or DHPP. Basically, what's in these vaccines are 3 to 5 different types of modified live or killed components that basically protect your puppy or your adult dog from getting distemper, hepatitis, adenovirus, parvovirus, and parainfluenza. And so with just one vaccine, we're helping stimulate the immune system. The biggest mistake that I see people making is they'll get, quote, one shot from their shelter and they think their dog is protected. When in reality, I always tell people one shot doesn't do anything. You have to get a second vaccine, a third vaccine, and a fourth vaccine to mount an immune response to that first vaccine. And so really important that people realize a one-time vaccine is not protective in a young puppy. You have to go through a whole puppy series to protect your dog from getting any of these really deadly viruses.
I love what you just said right there, because I think a lot of people listening are like, all right, yeah, I mean, I know the word vaccine, but if I was to ask somebody what is a vaccine, they say, well, of course I know what it is, but sometimes it's hard to define it out loud. And so I always like to just clear the air and make sure that we all understand a vaccine essentially is like, if you're in a fight with this virus, it's like taking one hand and tying it behind its back. You're taking the virus, you're taking that agent, and you are debilitating it in some way. You are handicapping it in some way so that it's weakened. And that tricks the immune system into creating an army so that it can fight the real thing. And like I said, I love what you said, because essentially what we're doing is we are priming this immune system. We are priming that army so that when it comes in contact with the real thing, it can fight it and it can win. So that's really important. And like you mentioned, in terms of the timing, vaccines, it's all about timing. And by giving vaccines more frequent than every 2 weeks, would you agree that that can sometimes cause an unnecessary overlap and it can kind of confuse the immune system, and so they should be spaced out? What would you recommend in terms of your interval?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me first start by saying people are scared and intimidated by vaccines because they don't always understand what it is. And so like when people say your dog or your child is about to be vaccinated with a modified live vaccine, they think it sounds scary because they're worried that their dog or their child's going to get the disease. Well, the important thing with modified live vaccines is they've lost their ability to cause the disease. So they're called attenuated. So they will not cause the disease in your dog or your child. But again, like you mentioned, they're going to stimulate the immune system to recognize it and again, prevent that dog or that child from actually getting the disease. So don't be intimidated by the name. The important thing is, like you said, you have to space it out appropriately. And if it's a really, really high risk situation, like example, a shelter, sometimes we will recommend a vaccine every 2 weeks, but traditionally for the average pet owner, it's going to be every 3 to 4 weeks, not 5 weeks, not 6 weeks, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to stimulate the immune system in the face of maternal antibody. What does that mean? I know it sounds really scientific, but your mom or that puppy's mom has maternal antibodies that she's going to pass on to the puppies. And unfortunately, these interfere with the vaccine. So they're going to protect the puppy for the first couple of weeks, but then those maternal antibodies actually drop off. And then the puppy is completely unprotected. And so what we're trying to do with this vaccines, again, one vaccine every 3 to 4 weeks, is we're trying to stimulate that immune system as the maternal antibodies drop off. And that's why, especially for high-risk breeds like pit bulls, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, Labradors, we want to make sure to vaccinate them out till 14 to 16 weeks. A big mistake I see, people say, oh, it's a 10-week-old puppy. It's up to date on its vaccines. There's no way, because they have to go through that whole series.
Yeah, not only do they have to go to that whole series, what's great about what you just said is that there's more to vaccines than just one shot. There's more to vaccines and the immune system than just getting one shot and feeling protected. A lot of it comes down to exactly what you just said in terms of maternal antibodies. Where are they getting it from? I think a lot of people listening have heard of colostrum. They know what colostrum is, but they're not sure how important it is. And that is one of the biggest challenges when it comes to vaccination, is knowing exactly when to time it. And it depends on how much colostrum the puppy got, if he got any colostrum to begin with, what litter number the puppy is. And so by doing that series, you're really keeping the puppies in the entire litter and keeping all of these factors, all of these moving parts, you're keeping those into consideration at the same time. Now, my question to you is, when somebody does get their vaccinations, when they say, all right, doc, I have all of my puppy shots, and I'm just curious, how often should I be continuing to do these? What I love is you mentioned the shelter. So there's a lot of component here about how high risk are they in terms of infectious disease.
Yeah. So my general philosophy is I treat each pet the way I would if they were my own pet. And so this is the vaccine schedule that I do for my own dog. When he was a puppy, I vaccinated him at 6 weeks and then every 3 to 4 weeks until he was 14 to 16 weeks of age. And then
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. That is so important what you just said. Would you mind just repeating that for our listeners? Because there are a lot of people, I do a lot of surgery. And so that is something that I'm passionate about. I do it every day. But at the end of the day, I still have my friends and family who get puppies. And that's the first question that they are texting me, calling me. You know, that is, I don't care how specialized your field is within veterinary medicine, whether it be surgery, whether you're a cardiologist or a neurologist. At the end of the day, veterinarians all over the country with friends and family are getting that question. Hey, I just got a brand new puppy or kitten. When should I start my vaccines? Could you just repeat that one more time?
Absolutely. So ideally, the first thing you should know is ideally you don't want to get a puppy less than 8 weeks of age, because they need to be with their mother. So by the time you get them, you ideally want to start it the first vaccine at 6 to 8 weeks of age, then every 3 to 4 weeks until they hit about 14 to 16 weeks. And I do the rabies vaccine at the 14 to 16 week mark too. And so really important, that's going to stimulate that puppy's immune system. And then we want to vaccinate them once a year thereafter. So we're going to do a vaccine once a year. I then do it until about 3 to 4 years of age. After that, their immune system's pretty protected. I still want my pet owners to come in for an annual exam so I can examine them. And depending on how high risk their exposure is, like if the mom works at a shelter or they foster a lot of puppies, I'll typically vaccinate them once a year. But if it's just a dog who lives in, you know, St. Paul, it goes to the dog park once in a while, I'll usually do a vaccine after 3 to 4 years of age every 3 years. Again, this is going to depend on the state law for the rabies requirement. They still need their annual exam. But again, the most important thing is making sure they have that puppy series and an annual vaccine for several years thereafter to keep that immune system stimulated.
Okay. You know, listen, this is so important because there's so many elements you just brought in there. And particularly the element that really catches my attention is just how individual your recommendations are, depending upon the wonderful pet that you're actually
treating, right? So if you've got a, I love them, but you got a St. Bernard couch potato who barely comes into contact with any of the puppies out there versus a dog who comes with his mom to the shelter every day because his mom's a veterinarian and, you know, that particular dog is in high risk. Those two dogs may need totally different vaccine protocols. And I just want to highlight one thing before we really, I mean, listen, we, you and I could talk about vaccines and puppy protection and kitten protection all day, but you know, I have to tell you a little bit of a funny thing. When I was around 10 or 11, when I got my first puppy, I actually didn't know what the word distemper meant. I actually thought that distemper meant that my puppy had like a bad personality or like it would cause him to be like, you know, aggressive or just to have a bad temper. But we know that distemper has nothing to do with the personality. Is there any way you can just talk a little bit about distemper? Because I've seen puppies come in with just horrible eye infections, respiratory infections, intestinal infections just from this bad virus.
Absolutely. You know, thankfully, I rarely see distemper. And again, it's because the vaccine is so effective, over 90, 95% effective. However, I do see it every few years. And distemper is really frustrating because unlike parvovirus, which has a really good success rate, again, 80 to 90% of puppies and dogs will survive parvovirus. That is not true with canine distemper. Canine distemper is seen in areas where people don't vaccinate. So sometimes we'll see them in shelters. Sometimes we'll see them in the cities. And unfortunately, it's basically a virus that's very, very infectious. And it causes three main things that you touched on already. Ocular signs. So they'll have really severe pus coming out of their eyes and nose. Respiratory signs where they have difficulty breathing. Skin signs. So you'll notice that their paw pads, instead of being really nice and smooth, are really, really what we call hyperkeratotic. They're too thick. They look really, really painful. They look cracked. And the last thing is we can see either GI signs, so gastrointestinal signs like vomiting and diarrhea, or even neurologic signs like seizures. And you know what? There's no good treatment for it. It's really just supportive care, and a lot of puppies die from this. So again, really important. It's one of the D's in the DHPP vaccine. Very, very effective, extremely safe, but really frustrating to treat.
Yeah, it like wages war on your system from ocular signs to neurologic signs to gastrointestinal signs. I mean, it's just like an equal opportunity virus, and you're 100% correct. Thank goodness we don't see it that frequently. I would say a very busy, high volume veterinary hospital may see one or two cases a year, but it just depends. I mean, sometimes in the right situation, it's really sad. You can see it quite a bit. Listen, I think one of the testaments and the good news about this is just how focused and made sure that their pets are vaccinated. And that's why we don't see a lot of this distemper, a lot of adenovirus or hepatitis. And fortunately, at least on my side out here in California, we're seeing a big decrease in the amount of parvovirus. And I think to me, when I'm thinking about infectious disease and I'm thinking about all the puppies and kittens I've seen over the years, one of the things that I'm just so happy about is the testament to science when it comes to vaccine schedules and how diligent people are when it comes to getting their puppies and kittens vaccinated.
I agree. These diseases, again, are so preventable, so important that we vaccinate. And again, talk to your veterinarian about it. You do want to avoid high-risk areas like doggy daycares or, you know, dog parks, things like that until your puppy is vaccinated. So when in doubt, talk to your veterinarian about it. Again, we want to be able to save as many pets' lives as we can. And by vaccinating, that's one of the easiest, most preventable ways that you can do it.
Dr. Lee, I, you know, not to scare you, but I have to talk to you again. We have to get you back. You're wonderful. And you just put it in such, you know, abject clarity about how important vaccines are. And all these listening, they know that too. But I just want to continue to spread the good news, spread the good word, and keep all of these dogs protected. I just want to thank you so much for joining Inaugural Podcast on my birthday. I want you to have an awesome day. And I know we'll reconnect again.
Sounds good. Happy birthday. And thank you so much for having me on the show, Dr. Campbell.
Thank you. Bye, Dr. Lee.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, folks. Dr. Justine Lee, fantastic individual to talk with. I'm just so happy to have that she joined us on our Inaugural Podcast, brought to you by Merck Animal Health, makers of Novavax vaccines. we're going to be doing even more exciting talks with more exciting guests, getting into awesome information, learning, having fun. So this is just the start, and I'm so excited and so pumped. Please join us for more podcasts, and we're going to have some more fun. Of course, you could always reach out to me at Dr. Courtney DVM on Twitter or Instagram, Facebook as well, and that's at Dr. Courtney DVM. Please, if there are any questions or any topics that you want us to cover, we're happy to do it. So until next time, thank you so much. Remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.